That we are going to move to item number 7. This is the petition 252 Walleye and Sauger Limit. We'll have Director Kirschman come up to begin the process, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. Next item on your agenda is number 7, our second petition on your agenda today, number 252. This has to do with Walleye and Sauger Limit on Lake Francis Case. And I think before we get into some information to share from the department itself, we would ask the petitioner, Mr. Chemla, to come up here and provide some background information for his reading or reasons and rhymes justification for submitting the petition to you. So, sir, microphone's yours.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners. I'm Wes Schmella from Chamberlain, South Dakota. Lived there all my life, fished there all my life. I've fished tournaments, I've guided, I recreation fish with my kids, with my family. In the recent years, we've seen a great uptick of spring fishing, particularly February and March. As soon as our boat ramp gets put in the water, it's out there. Everybody can see the day the boat ramp goes in. We're starting to see hundreds, up to 300 boats a day in these months. The fish are in their wintering areas. They're very easy to catch. Guys are having awesome success. It's great. It's awesome for our community. I live off of seashore sales. That's where my paycheck comes from. What I'm asking is a 2-fish limit during them first 3 months when the nice days do show up to try and protect some fish later into the year, into the May, into the June, when kids are not in school anymore, they can go out with their families, they can enjoy seeing the high success rate that these guys are having early in the year. It's very evident to look at any pictures, anybody's website, and see the number of quality fish that the lake has. These guys do a great job. I'm not saying they don't. I think our fishery is awesome. What I do think is happening is a lot of legal fish are leaving before the general population of people are getting to catch them. Some of the population, they don't care if they catch 1 or 3 fish. Maybe they'd be more excited to go fishing if they caught 4 or 5 fish that were big enough to keep. Later in the year, that 0.3 number of legal fish per hour, maybe we can raise that. I think it's a step in the right direction. I want to see just as many anglers coming that are coming now spread out over a bigger period. The May and June used to be the 2 best months to come and fish Chamberlain. I mean, I fished Chamberlain all my life. And then were the months that everybody wanted to come fishing. Now, it's proven in our own community, there's anywhere from 10 to 30 guides fishing out of Chamberlain on a daily basis. By mid-May, them guys are all going to Lake Sharp or farther to catch their fish for their clients. There's a reason they're leaving. It's not because the fish are still there. They're not leaving their own hometown to go fish somewhere else if the fish are still there big enough to keep on a consistent basis. And that's my biggest push, is to spread this out so that in May and June, when the general population can get out, kids are out of school, they can go and join the lake, to spread out that out so that there's more legal-sized fish for people to catch. I run a small fishing league out of Chamberlain. There's 6 or 8 of us, maybe 10 boats a night. We struggle most nights to put 4 fish in the boat in a 3-hour period that are quality. We can scrape out 15 and a half inches. You can catch all the 12, 13, 14 inches you want, but them bigger fish just don't seem to be there. I think the lake is in great shape. It produces tons of numbers of fish. I don't disagree with that. Like I said, everything they're doing is awesome. I would just like to see it stretched out over a longer period of time for more people to enjoy.
Very good. Thank you, Wes. Any questions at this point? for Wes. I think we'll hear from the department first, and then if questions come up, we'll have you revisit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would ask to have Chris Longhenry come up. We put together a very short PowerPoint just to share some background information. Had a lot of internal conversations about this particular petition. Obviously a high level of interest when it comes to walleye angling in South Dakota, anywhere along the Missouri River system. So just believe that it was appropriate to maybe share a little bit more information and background before we get into the overall discussion. So if I may, we'll have Chris provide you a short background PowerPoint on this topic.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary. I'm going to share some information on Francis' case that relates to the petition. We already saw some information from our general surveys that Amy provided, but I tried to tailor this PowerPoint to the question at hand. Just to give a little overview, Francis Case is an early destination fishery. It's one of the first places you can launch a boat in South Dakota. It's well known as an early spring fishery, and it's right off I-90, so easy to get to during those late winter, early spring months. Early access is generally limited to a few boat ramps, and the anglers are concentrated on the upper third of the reservoir on average. This fishery is also highly weather dependent. Before anglers can get out, we need the ice to come off the river, and that can happen mid-March. It might happen as late as almost into April, but it also does happen, like this year, mid-February. So this year is probably more an exception than the norm, but this year was a very warm year, and we have seen an increase in activity in the Chamberlain area. So the concerns that were brought up are not new for this area. We've had them in the past, and previously from 2004 through 2008, aquatic staff did a creel survey from January through March, looking at this late winter, early ice fishing use of the reservoir. The creel survey did encompass the area from the Platte Winter Bridge all the way up to Fort Thompson, and like I said, it was from January through March, so it does line up very well with the zone of the lake and the time frame that the petition is asking for. During those 5 years, we averaged 96,000 angler hours during those 3 months. The peak for 1 year was 14,000 angler hours during those 3 months. Now, just to compare that and put it into perspective, during the April through July period of those years, if you look at that left graph, that left little bar is the fishing pressure, the angler hours that was from January through March, and then the right bar is the fishing pressure that occurred from April through July that year. We saw a similar pattern with the walleye harvest. Over the 5 years, it averaged 3,500 and then had a maximum for those 3 months of 7,500 walleyes and sauras harvested. For the April through July period, during those same years, we averaged just over 120,000 walleyes harvested. So in the big picture for Francis Case during that time frame, the January through March fishing pressure and harvest was a low percentage of the total. We do acknowledge that some years it may be higher than this, some years it may be lower, and it would be nice to have a creel survey that runs year-round so we can capture all fishing pressure. However, as resource managers, we need to be prudent with our time and money. And these creel surveys are very expensive, so we have narrowed it down to the April through July period. So another thing that we've done in the past that might help provide some information on this topic is walleye movement in Francis Case. Walleyes generally in reservoirs and river systems have spring migrations or spring movements towards spawning areas. Generally, that's upstream. Francis Case is no different. This figure that you're looking at is walleyes that have been tagged in the Chamberlain area and then where they were caught, so the blue bars would be in the Chamberlain area by month. And so this is an 11-year project that went on, and this is all 11 years combined. But what we see is after tagging, 100% of the tag returns are coming back from the Chamberlain or the upper zone of Francis Case in April. Through the summer months, that percentage decreases as the fish disperse throughout the reservoir, and it bottoms out in September when only 15% of the tag returns are coming back from the upper end of the reservoir. But then starting in October, November, we see those fish start moving back upstream to the upper end of the reservoir. So this just shows that these walleyes are mixing throughout the reservoir and trying to manage to keep walleyes in a certain area at a certain time may not work. All right, so this is our length frequency distribution. Amy had this up there, so I won't go into too many details about it. But one thing that we can see here is that 45% of the fish are over 15 inches. That gray bar is the percent of the portion of that population that likely grew past the 15 inches during that year. One thing the other thing that we can say with this is everything right of that gray bar has been available for anglers throughout the year. Another thing that I want to point out here is we have 2-year classes that are just below the 15-inch mark. And so as those fish start growing through the summer, they are going to start contributing to the angler catches and can sometimes give the appearance of less big fish in the system. But really what's happening is these younger fish are recruiting to the fishery and becoming more frequent in the catches. So sometimes this ratio of keeper to short fish is more determined by recruitment of these young, strong year classes moving into the fishery than actual removal of the larger fish. Because we can see the larger fish are still in this sample, and this occurred in September after the fishing season of 2025. So another thing that can influence angler catch rates is prey fish abundance. Amy touched on it a little bit, but during years when we have high prey fish numbers, we also see high condition of fish. And in conjunction with high condition, which is just how plump they are relative to their length, we also see lower catch rates. And the opposite is true. When we have lower prey fish numbers, we see lower condition and also higher catch rates. But there's also a seasonal variation that occurs in Francis Case. Francis Case is a gizzard shad prey base, and gizzard shad mostly die off each winter. So in the springtime, there's relatively little food for walleye, so that's one reason why we see the high catch rates in the spring. And then through the summer, as the new gizzard shad hatch and start growing into sizes that the walleye can target, we'll see catch rates decline. And that normally occurs mid-June to mid-July. So that is something also that impacts angler catch rates. throughout the year. One last thing that I wanted to point out for the commission is we just started an exploitation project on Francis Case this year. I think you have seen some presentations from the Fort Pier office on Lake Oahe or Lake Sharp about some of the exploitation work that they've done. What we're going to do is we're going to tag 1,500 walleyes each year in Francis Case for the next 3 years, and we'll be able to estimate the angler exploitation of the walleye population for the whole year, and then also we can break it out by month and look at monthly exploitation rates. And this will also allow us to further examine that walleye dispersion after the spawn, that movement stuff that I was talking about earlier. So we'll get some updated information on both the impact to the population and some of the walleye movement patterns. So that is what I have for you. I would be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Very good. Any questions from the commission at this time? Commissioner Spring.
In that period of, say, March till fall, till September, you were talking about fish growing into that category. Say a 13-inch fish, what's its size in that from March to September? Did it grow how much?
So I'm going to flip back to that figure. Yeah, our average length of age for each two fish in September is right around that 13-inch mark. And then our average length at age three has been around 16. So they're growing about 3.5 inches during that year from age two to age three. So they will be... The primary growing season on Francis Case is after the shad show off, so it's mostly a little bit of June, but July, August, and September. And so that's going to be the time when they're putting on the most length in Francis Case.
Additional questions from the commission? Secretary Roebling?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Chris, quick question in regards to the creel survey data you collected. It would have been January, February, March. Can you go back to that slide? I believe it's a bit outdated. Do we have plans to look at, I guess, updating that information, or what are your thoughts with that?
Yeah, it's probably time to at least consider it. That is 20-year-old data. We could use updated information on that. The exploitation work will provide some information on that. It won't provide us direct estimates of harvest during those time frames, but it will provide percent of the population that's being harvested during those times. But yeah, that's something that we'll definitely be considering.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I would recommend that you consider that to really address some of the questions here at hand today. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments from the commission? Chris, I do have one. I want to make sure I'm understanding something. So when you talk about the movement of the fish, and then you talk about how their food in the winter months is less, and so those walleye are going to be more eager to there's a better bite then, and then it will lessen out as the shad are growing. So that's, from what I'm hearing, that could be some of the reason those size limits that we're hearing from the petitioner today are the size that they are.
Yeah, and that's the size. Well, so he's asking for a reduced daily limit to help keep fish around till later in the year. And really, there are other things that may be influencing catch rates later in the year. And that's what I tried to show the commission here.
Secretary Roebling.
This data is very interesting. I guess in regards to movement, that is fascinating. Our whole bunch of walleyes, you know, in the Chamberlain area, we watch those walleyes go, I don't know, many miles. I mean, do you have any idea as to what type of migration we do see with these types of fish? I mean, are they moving 10, 15, 20, 30 miles? Or can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
So this data is 100% fish that were tagged in the Chamberlain area. all those red bars are fish that were from, that were recaptured from Peace Creek down to the dam. So they're potentially, at the scale that this data gives me right now, they're using the entire reservoir, all 107 miles. Now, not all of them will move that entire distance, but there's definitely a good number that are, and they are dispersing after the spawn.
Additional questions from the commission? Seeing none. All right, with that, we'll have Director Cushman come back up. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to say thank you to the petitioner for bringing forward the petition today and the discussion here. I think that we're all recognizing and understanding again the complexity that comes with the management of a resource that's highly sought after by many, many folks, right? And many in this room, I know that firsthand. So great conversation and discussion. We asked Chris to provide some of the background to you, some information we have from the past and what we do know now, as basically that foundation of bringing forward our overall recommendation. I also want to say thank you to Amy for giving the Lake Francis case overview like we did for Lake Oahe and Lake Sharp. I think it's just a great way to present information. You have a good understanding of what's happening in those individual reservoirs, one of the primary species that our anglers are after, and that is the walleye. But so as shared by Chris, I think he shared some good information about, and on average, when we look over time, there is a lower percentage of, I'll say, participation or angling or that pressure early in the year, that January, February, March, versus when we do get into April, May, June, and July, that peak fishing period. Again, that does vary by year. We've seen 80-degree temperature days here in Pier in the middle of February, and there were certainly people out enjoying the opportunities that existed then, but that is not the norm for having a whole weekend of 80 degrees either. So we do see some of those fluctuations, and obviously people are going to take advantage of that. Different daily limits that were brought forward here, we talked about this a lot internally from many aspects of it, but maybe one of the most important things that we talked about, that we talk with you frequently about, is complexity for our users and complexity of regulations. So this particular one, if we went from 4 to 2 on that segment of the river or the reservoir, not to the south of there, but it's, as the petition asked for, it's only for boat fishing. So while you're in a boat, it would be 4 to 2, but while you would be ice fishing if you had the opportunity, if conditions existed, or you were fishing from shore, it would not be 2, it would be a limit of 4. So you have that diversity or complexity of regulations for different types of fishing activity for the exact same species. And I would share with you oftentimes when we talk about those types of things, typically our staff, whether they're biologists, managers, or law enforcement, are going to say if we need to make a change or an adjustment to a daily limit, it makes sense to do it all, not just one segment of it. So it creates that complexity there. I think the information that Amy shared with you and the overall picture of Lake Francis case, things look very well for walleye and the year classes we have coming up. So from a current structure of harvest and opportunity, certainly we look at it to be very, very much appropriate as what our current structure provides to our anglers throughout the year. And then we are excited, as Chris talked about, initiating that tagging study that will provide additional information. It may not answer all the questions, and we can certainly go back and talk about other means and methods of collecting more data and information as well. So, Madam Chair and Commissioners, again, great information, great discussion. We do come before you, and our overall recommendation would be to deny the petition as it's written here today, not because it doesn't bring good conversation and merit, but we believe from some of those complexities in our current structure seems to be providing opportunity to harvest walleye, but what our data does show us is that our harvest structure that we have in place right now and the season structure is not having a negative impact on our walleye population in Lake Francis case. We recommend we keep it under that current structure. Now, that doesn't mean we can't come back to you in a couple of years after we collect more information and we have that available to us to have more discussions, but where we would stand today, our recommendation would be to deny it and continue to move forward with our current season structure for Lake Francis case.
Great. good. Thank you, Director Kirschman. I'm going to offer Wes the opportunity to come back if he would like to have a rebuttal, and then we'll open it up for comments to the department.
So I don't have a whole lot to rebuttal with. I did speak with John on the phone when we were going over the petition, and I thought he and I were in agreement that it was going to be boat, ice, and shore, not just boat fishing. When we spoke on the phone, he wanted to make sure that was clear, and I thought we clarified that. So the two fish limit would be across the board, not just for boat fishermen, but for that 3-month period. The data is pretty outdated. I did some numbers on my own this year and counted boats, and in a 31-day period, there was an estimated 2,000 boats with 3 anglers per boat, which is 24,000 fish in a 30-day period out of our stretch of water. The fish do migrate. Me and Chris talked about that. I don't disagree with it, but if we kept half of them fish there, that 40% that was left is going to be a higher number in them later months for more people to enjoy. Again, I don't want to change the number of fish being caught. I would like to see more people able to catch more fish when they go out to keep.
Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Bartling.
Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling. Wes, you mentioned about the fishing guides and the outfitters and whatnot. Approximately how many are in the area in that those months, you know, where it's heavy, heavenly fish?
You know, anywhere from 15 to 40 boats a day. I mean, there's guides from Platte, there's guides from Chamberlain, there's guides from up north, Cullen. I mean, there's a pile of guys fishing, and it's great. I mean, I love the business in town. But when they leave, you know, when it comes to mid-May, and they're going somewhere else to fish, that tells me that the fish aren't there to be harvested for their clients. Or why would they be leaving?
Questions from the commission? Comments? Very good, seeing none. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And with that, commissioners, do we have any additional questions for the department or Chris from his presentation? Tom, I would just ask one, if I may. And I appreciate the information about the behavior of the fish and what we know from that data. What kind of maybe it's data or input have we got from the, well, we talk about the guides and the number of anglers that are coming in and removing fish. Has there been much look at the impact that is having?
Madam Chair, in terms of actually evaluating that quote-unquote impact from guides or that type of commercial activity, I would say no, we do not have data readily available to say that there is or is not an impact in that local area like that. We have to remember that, you know, as a guide is out there with one or two or three people, whatever the number is, right, they're all licensed anglers out there fishing, no different than potentially a family of one or two or three people in a boat out fishing as well. They're doing the same activity. Now, I'm here to say those folks probably are more proficient because they're certainly, when I go out with my kids, I know they catch more fish than we do, but that's because it's our own fault, right? We're not as good as they are, don't know where to go at times and under the current conditions and stuff. So they do that for a living for reasons, right? They're very good at their trade. But do we have data that suggests or shows that it's having an impact on numbers that are available or impacting the population? No, we do not.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And as a commissioner, when we have to make decisions, it is nice to have the data and the information because that's what we have to weigh our decisions on. So thank you for offering your comments on that. With that, commission, we do need to move forward on a motion for this petition.
Nyberg, I will make a motion to deny the petition.
We do have a motion to deny. We do do need a second.
Commissioner Kirkby, I'll second it.
Seconded by Commissioner Kirkby. Comments on that denial motion? Commissioner Nyberg.
Yeah, thank you. You stated it, Madam Chairman. The data is very, very interesting, and the discussion is wonderful. I personally think that I want to see with the data that Chris is collecting in the next 2 years, I think that's going to tell us a lot. So that's my reason why I'm going to vote to deny the petition.
Thank you for that, Commissioner. Additional comments on the motion to deny from the Commission?
I second it because I really dislike complicated regulations.
Commissioner Kirkby, thank you for that. Additional comments from the Commission? I will just add before we vote on this, again, for myself and my vote, it's important to look at the data and the information that's provided, so I do appreciate it. I also think this helps provide an elevated platform to continue this conversation on this topic. So thank you for bringing it forward. I think it also elevates the need for updated data. So thank you for pointing that out, Secretary. And so as I deliver my vote, those will be my reasons why. But I do look forward to continued conversations on this. With that, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
We have one opposed. We do have a quorum that has voted in favor. The motion to deny is approved. Thank you for coming. All right. And with that, we are going to move.